Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to have you out there listening today, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. Today, we're going to continue talking about the prosperity gospel. There's a lot of disagreement and a lot of incorrect teaching and a lot of improper teaching regarding the prosperity gospel. I believe it is the Lord's will that he prosper us. I don't know anybody that likes being in poverty. I don't know anybody that likes going hungry. I don't know anybody that likes wearing rags for clothing. And yet I see that in Africa all the time. I don't see it in America, but I don't see too many people in America signing up for the poverty line and signing up to give up their food. Very few people in America can even fast for one day or have a desire to fast for one day. In fact, quite the opposite. Most of the people in America are overweight, fighting obesity, fighting the challenges of good health and poor health that come from being obese and indulging too much. So it is God's will, I believe, that we have wealth, that we can enjoy the fruit of our labor. In fact, the Proverbs, we looked at them last week. There's many, many Proverbs say that in all labor there is profit, and you will prosper by the fruit of the labor of your hands. You will prosper when you are diligent and you are diligent to work and to look for opportunities. And that's the great thing about America. We can be entrepreneurs. We can be creative. That is the way our capitalist system is set up. And beloved, I rue the day when socialism ever takes over here or communism ever takes over in America. I pray that that shall never happen, because I don't want the state to govern the affairs of man any more than it already is. I don't want the state to dictate to man whether he can open a business or what day he has to be open or what day he can close. I believe that is best left to the individual and to the creative individual who wants to work hard and be diligent in his work. I believe the Lord wants to bless him and let him prosper from the work of his hands. Well, the other side of that coin is God does not want us to worship riches. He does not want us to worship mammon. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve mammon, which is riches, and the wealth of this world. You cannot serve riches and God at the same time. You will either despise one and love the other, or hate one and love the other. And so Jesus said, you have to keep it in perspective. That's what he's saying. We don't pursue riches just for riches' sake. That isn't the end goal of why we seek riches. That isn't the end goal of why we get up and go to work. That isn't the end goal of our desire to have money. You have to pay bills. You have to put food on your table. If you're not growing it in your garden or out there on the farm, you have to purchase it from somebody or trade something of value for it. And so there is a purpose, and that is you need to take care of your family and not be a burden on the government. You need to take care of your family and not expect other people to pick up your shoes and carry them. You need to take care of your family, because that is God's will. And it is his desire that those who don't work should not eat. It is God's will that there is a link between hard work and providing for yourself and your family. And those who don't provide for their family, the Bible says they are worse than an infidel. And that is, they don't provide. And that is our first obligation. That is our first mission field, not only to nourish our families spiritually, but also take care of them. Make sure they have food, make sure they have clothing and shelter. That is God's desire. That is his plan, not to depend on the government, not to expect other people to take the responsibility to take care of us and our family. And so if you have a tendency out there to expect other people to take care of you, I pray that you would pray about that and ask the Lord to give you the strength to get out there and get a job. Ask the Lord to open doors for you that you can take care of your family and you can provide for them in the way that God desires. Well, again, the Bible speaks much about worship or idolatry of riches. In Proverbs 23, verse 4, it says, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? In other words, are you always desiring that which you don't have? Are you always coveting what somebody else has? And then in verse 5, Proverbs 23, it says, will you set your eyes on that which is not? Riches constantly make for themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. And so Solomon says that riches have a way to vanish. Riches have a way to fly away, and many people can certainly attest to that. They've had many riches in their life, but they got arrogant, they got proud about their riches, and they started to think that riches would provide an answer for them in every situation. They thought the riches would make them happy and give them peace and give them contentment and fulfillment, and they found out that riches did not do that for them. In fact, many rich people commit suicide. Many rich people are entangled with all kinds of mental problems. They're in depression. They're in anxiety. They're taking all kinds of drugs because they don't have joy and peace. And just recently, you know, they found Jeffrey Epstein hanging from his cell in New York City, and there's one of the richest men in the world. He's worth billions of dollars, and yet he had no peace. He had no joy. His life was full of torment. His life was full of criminal activity, and he had plenty of money, islands in Caribbean, and yet there was a man who ended up killing himself because he had no joy, and he had no peace, and he didn't want to face the justice system which was pursuing him. Proverbs 23, verse 20, it says, do not mix with wine bibbers and with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness or sleepiness will clothe a man with rage. And so the Bible says, don't waste your money and your time and your resources drinking alcohol and partying and being a gluttonous eater of meat will come to poverty. And isn't that the truth? Many people who are gluttons and who are drunkards, they end up in poverty. They end up with nothing at the end of their life. They end up with a body that is racked with all kinds of infirmity and sickness. And they have to spend all the money that they've spent their whole life accumulating. They spend that money trying to restore their natural body, trying to restore their health, and the Bible says that they will come to poverty. Well, that is not God's plan. That is not God's will for your life. He wants you to partake of everything in moderation, and even if you have a struggle with alcohol, don't even drink any alcohol. Just leave it alone. Take food in moderation. You can trust God that He will bring you another meal. Can you trust God that He will bring you another meal? You don't have to sit at the table and eat three meals worth in one meal. You can trust God that He will bring you another meal. If you have a problem with overeating and a problem with your weight and obesity, it is good to fast maybe just one meal at a time. Then you can go to a day at a time, fast and break that curse of overeating, break that curse of gluttony off your life. Trust God that He can bring you another meal. Trust God that there will be food tomorrow, and whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever it is that is making you anxious, ask the Lord to break that off of you. Break the agreement you have with the devil and turn away from that anxiety. Cast that anxiety, put it away from your life. Make peace with whatever it is that is bothering you, and then you won't have to eat to cover up your emotions. You won't have to eat to cover up your anger. You won't have to eat to cover up all the things that are bothering you. You can deal with life straight on, one day at a time, one problem, one issue at a time, and you don't have to drown all of your issues in big plates of food. Well, enough of that. And then I'm going to be talking here about David. King David was asked by the Lord to number the children of Israel. And this turned out to be a big trap for David because he was not supposed to do that. But in 2 Samuel 24:1, it says, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and He moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Well, David knew he was not to number Israel and Judah, and yet he did that because the Lord provoked him. The anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and so he provoked David to do this, even though David knew it was not the right thing to do. And so many, many people then became victims of this ill-conceived strategy, this ill-conceived plot. Many people became victims because the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, verse 15, from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the children of Israel died. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, "It is enough, now restrain your hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And then David, verse 17, spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house." And so Gad the seer, Gad the prophet came to David and he said to David, "Go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." And so God had punished David by taking the life of 70,000 men in Israel. God let David see the pain. God let David see the suffering. God let David see the punishment. And David cried out to the Lord, "Why should these people suffer when I'm the one who made the mistake of numbering Israel? Why should these people pay the penalty when I'm the one that should be paying?" And so then Gad the seer, he told David, "Go make an altar on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." And so David goes to the threshing floor, and David comes and he says, "I have come to buy the threshing floor from you to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." And Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Araunah has given to the king." And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord God accept you." And so when David came to purchase the threshing floor from Araunah, Araunah said, "I'm going to give all this to you. I'll give the floor to you. I'll give the oxen. I'll give the yoke. I'll give the wood. Everything here, king, you can have. You are the king. I'm just a lowly person in this kingdom. I'm just one of your subjects. I'm one of your servants. And I'm going to offer it to you as a sacrifice to you." Well, David could easily have taken the threshing floor of Araunah. He easily could have said, "Yes, I'm the king, so I'll just take it, and I deserve it." And David was very humble at this point because he had just seen the destruction of 70,000 of men in Israel. He had just witnessed their destruction, and David had a great burden upon him to make things right with the Lord. David had a great burden upon him to get right with the Lord. He knew he was the cause of that destruction of his brothers, and so he did not take that offering that Araunah had given to him. He did not receive it. He did not take it. In fact, just the opposite. David gives his reply to Araunah. And then the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." And so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Well, David, he didn't take advantage of the privilege that he had. He didn't take advantage of the fact that the Lord had made him king, and he could easily have said, I'll take that threshing floor for nothing. Thank you very much. And he could have built an altar there. But David was humble. He was humbled by the taking of his brothers as payment, as punishment for his numbering the people of Israel. And so David said, no, I'm not going to take it for free. I'm not going to receive the offering that you're giving me. In fact, I'm going to purchase it because I want this to cost me something. I want to pay something for it. And beloved, this is a lesson for us, because God sees your heart. He sees when you're making a sacrifice. You know, we have a great Christian life, especially in America. We have very little persecution. We have very little material want or material shortage in America. Most of the people are extremely well fed. They're extremely well housed, and they have everything they need in terms of cars, vehicles, gasoline, food, clothing, all the material blessings of life. And we have that in abundance in America. And beloved, when you get outside of America and you see how other people live in other parts of the world, and people are dressed in rags and they have no shoes, or shoes that are falling apart, barely staying on their feet, and many times they don't have food, they don't have medicine. Beloved, we are so blessed in America. And so when you come to the Lord and you ask him for something, David had a great burden. He was asking the Lord, stop this plague, stop this plague. And David had a great burden for the people of Israel. He did not want to see even one more person die because of his poor decision. And so when you come to the Lord and you have a burden, and you say, Lord, I want this to stop in my family. I want this curse to stop in my family. I want this destruction to stop in my life. I want this destruction to stop in my state, in my nation, in my village, wherever it is that you are interceding, or wherever you are, have a burden to see God's kingdom come, to see God come and restore and to renew and to make whole again. When you have a burden for that, you make an offering to the Lord. Don't take the offering that somebody else can give you. Don't take your privilege of being a child of God in America and say, I'm never going to fast because there's all this food. Somebody has to eat it, so I'll eat it. No, you offer up to the Lord something that costs you either money or time or pain or sacrifice. You offer up to the Lord. You do not take the blessings of the Lord without offering something great in return for it. Are you getting the message? This is God's plan. This is God's will for our life, that we offer up to the Lord, that we give back to the Lord something that is costly and precious to us. Beloved, that's the great thing about prayer and fasting, is that everybody likes to eat. And so when you offer up to the Lord your fasting and your prayers, and you deny yourself the indulgence of food, you deny yourself the joy of eating, and you say, Lord, I'm going to give up something that is very precious to me, and I'm going to give it back to you because you deserve it. I don't want to take the blessings of the kingdom for nothing. I want to give up things that are costly to me so that the kingdom will move forward. Well, I'm going to close with another story here. This is from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 19, and you're all familiar with this story, I'm sure. This is the story of the rich young ruler, and this is the other side of the prosperity gospel. God wants to prosper us. God wants to put money in our pocket. He gives us the power to make wealth. He gives us the power to be an entrepreneur, to be creative. He gives us the intelligence and the wherewithal, especially in America, all the blessings of being an entrepreneur, the blessings of having good jobs and material wealth. Well, there's a story in the New Testament, and it starts in Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, that is eternal life, keep the commandments. The man came to him and said, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, or if you want to be perfected, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Well, this is a painful scripture for people in America, because we all have so many possessions and we all have so much stuff. We even have storage buildings to store the excess that can't be stored in our barns, in our three-car garages, in our extra sheds on our own property. And so we rent property to store extra stuff. And so this scripture is very painful for people in America. And they say, you mean I cannot be perfected in my walk with the Lord unless I give up everything that I own and go and follow you? Well, that's what Jesus is saying. That is what he is saying. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Can you trust God to take care of you if you give up all your possessions? Can you trust God to take care of you if you say, I'm going to give up my job and go to the mission field? Can you trust God to take care of you if you say, I'm going to trust that the kingdom of God can provide for me on the mission field? Can you trust God to take care of your peace and your well-being and your happiness and your fulfillment? If you're not pursuing money and you're not pursuing riches on your own plan and with your own established ideas and your own established program, can you trust God that he is going to provide for you even in a place like Africa where you don't know any people? When I came to Africa, I did not know one single person. Out of the billion people on this continent, I did not know one single person. I had no connections here, no family here, nothing established for me here. But I trusted God to make a way for me. I trusted God to show me what he wanted me to do. And I took it one step at a time. And I said, God, you will provide. If you want me to preach crusades, and they are a bit costly in terms of mission work, they are a bit costly. They cost a lot of money because it costs money for sound systems, it costs money for security, it costs money for permits, and to have musicians there, and to organize pastors and churches. And can you trust God to do that? Or you want to stay with a $200 per month ministry? Or do you want to go on to the next level, $2,000 per month, or $20,000 per month, or $200,000 per month? Where do you want to plug in to the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus said to this rich young ruler, and he was very sorry. He was very sorry when he left Jesus. He could not give up the things that were important to him. He could not give up his material wealth. This passage of scripture occurs in the New Testament Gospels, and it said young ruler left and he was very sorry. He had sadness because he could not give up the things that were most important to him. Well, I ask you today, what is the most important thing to you? Would you want to see many people come to know the kingdom of God? Or are you satisfied with the status quo and just to take care of your family, take care of your riches, take care of your pursuit of all the comforts of life that are offered in America? What is your desire today? If you want to see the gospel flourish all around the kingdom, you can go and you can preach the word. If you want to see the gospel flourish, you can start a radio broadcast. If you want to see the gospel flourish, you can start a television program. You can come to Africa and set up a medical clinic, or to the Philippines, or to Asia, or someplace. You can do that. The Lord is asking you today, give up what you have and you will be perfected. Give up that which is most important to you, says the Lord, and you will be perfected in the kingdom of God. Well, beloved, that's a trying message. It tries us, it tests us, but I believe that God has his best intention for us in every word that is in his Holy Bible. And so God has his best intention for us. And there's great instruction and revelation in every passage of Scripture. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. Can you give up to support a radio ministry that is sharing the good news of the gospel? I pray that you can. Get a hold of us. Sit down. write us out a letter. Tell us that you're listening, that you enjoy these broadcasts. Make a donation to keep these broadcasts on the air and keep the crusades going in Africa. There are many, many here who need to know the gospel, and I am willing to preach it. There are many here who don't know Jesus, and it is up to us to tell them about the good news of Jesus. God bless you. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.